Yes, sir. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is written in our gospel for today, the last verse of our gospel for today, the 24th chapter of Luke, verses 35. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray that in these days after Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ might become more and more real to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Vaughn Hoffman from the Wesley United Methodist Church was one of our guest preachers at the ecumenical Good Friday service that we had. He told the true story of a woman who turned age 42. On her 42nd birthday, she looked in the mirror and she said to herself, "I have to do something about this." So she started running, and she built up her mileage week after week, was doing quite well, and entered into a 10K race, which is 6.1 miles. She thought, it's a race where we'll go out 3 miles, turn around, and come back. And she thought that she had allowed plenty of time for the race. She got there early. So she was warming up, but she kept hearing the announcer say that there was less and less time to the start of the race. The race was just a few minutes ahead, so she took off her sweat clothes, got in line, the gun sounded, she took off running with everybody else. But 3 miles out, they didn't turn around and come back. She went the 4th mile, and they didn't turn around and come back. She asked a runner next to her, and the runner said, "Oh, we're not going to turn around and come back. This is a marathon. The 10K race is later this morning." What was she going to do? She stuck it out and finished. Sometimes life is like that. We end up in a mess. How we got there, why we got there, whose fault we got there, really isn't that important. The important thing is we're there and we have to do something about it. That was somewhat of the situation of the disciples in our gospel for today. They were lost. The disciples needed to recognize Jesus. That happened in a very beautiful and a very powerful way in our gospel for today. In this gospel, we see Jesus as an absolute masterful teacher. At the end, the disciples were able to say, "That's real." Therefore, this morning, let's look at 4 ways in which Jesus revealed himself to his disciples. Jesus started to reveal himself as a stranger in their midst. Emmaus is not just 7 miles from Jerusalem. Emmaus is wherever we go when our hopes and dreams in life are shattered. It's wherever we go and we try to forget that it doesn't appear as though there's anything in life that is holy and sacred. It may be when our team has lost, our candidate has been defeated, our loved one has died. It may be walking or running. It may be golfing, mowing the lawn, or fishing. It may be sewing, or knitting, or quilting, reading a book, building a birdhouse, doing a crossword puzzle, gardening, watching a video, cartoons that we have seen before. The two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus said to Jesus, but we had hoped, past tense, we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. As far as they were concerned, their world had come to an end. Jesus entered the world of the disciples as a stranger. The blindness of the disciples did not stop him from going to them. And that Jesus lived in their world, and that is true in all of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. What's amazing to me is how Jesus appeared to those disciples in such ordinary places and in such ordinary ways. That's the way it is with the Christian faith. It happens in our sort of a world. Jesus comes to meet us on our turf, sometimes as a stranger, always as a friend, always there, never leaving us alone, often in the brokenness of life. Secondly, he made himself known to the disciples and to us through the Scriptures. A good teacher reminds students of what is familiar to them. Jesus was so good in this instance that he gets the students to tell the story. He gets the disciples to give the lesson. Cleopas asked, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that does not know all the things that are going on there these days?" How ironic. It was a stranger who was the only one who understood everything that was going on in Jerusalem those days. So Jesus said, "What things?" Innocently. And the disciples, the students, told the story of his life and of his ministry. As teachers, we are successful when we can get the students to tell the story. Isn't that why the cantatas that are going to be given here for the next 2 weeks are so popular? The students are telling the story. Isn't that why Christmas, Sunday school Christmas programs in many congregations are jam-packed with people? The students are telling the story. Isn't that what's going to happen this evening as the band plays for our light service? They're telling the story of what they've learned from the COJ praise band on Sunday morning, and that makes you successful. Then Jesus leads them to the point of confrontation and accountability. Of course, that's after he's established this relationship of trust with them. "Oh, you who are so slow of heart to believe, don't you remember that it was necessary for the Son of Man, for the Messiah, to die on the cross?" He interpreted the Scriptures to them, starting with Moses, who was familiar to them. It's so ironic, also ironic, that the disciples who thought his death frustrated their future found out that it was his death that fulfilled their future. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him because of their preconceived notions about how God was supposed to act. All this sets up the third way in which Jesus revealed himself to his disciples through the breaking of bread. When they reached Emmaus, they urged him to stay. They wanted to learn a little more. And I must say that I'm a little jealous of Jesus at this point. I have taught catechism classes for 35 years. And I don't remember ever getting to the end of a class and the students saying, "Pastor, we want to stay for more. This is so exciting. I don't want to go home. Let my parents wait out there in the parking lot." Jesus must have done a much better job than I did. They invited Jesus to eat with them. He never forced himself on anyone. They offered him the hospitality that he had offered to people time and again throughout the Gospel of Luke. He did the same four actions as in the feeding of the 5,000 people and in the Last Supper. He took, blessed, broke, and gave the bread to his disciples. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. He was known to them in the sharing of the bread. He was willing to share the bread in contrast to the rich man who was not willing to share his bread earlier in the Gospel of Luke with Lazarus, a poor man who was lying at his gate. Now the disciples caught on that it was the one who was crucified who was the one who was risen. Jesus had hit some nerves for them, and he became real to them. And once they recognized him in this way, then they could recognize him in other ways. As though that wasn't enough, he finally, fourthly, revealed himself by vanishing. He left as soon as they recognized him. His mission was done. It was up to them to complete the mission. He was a good leader. He delegated responsibility to others. And they did respond. On their way from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they walked very slowly and hopelessly, shuffling their feet along. Once this was over, however, they moved very hastily and hopefully back to Jerusalem, not only to tell the disciples, but from Jerusalem to go out to the far corners of the earth. They moved from the table to witnessing. This time, they weren't running to escape something. Rather, they were running to tell. They had a purpose. They had a mission. This reminds us that we cannot control Jesus. We cannot even nail him to the cross. He has a way of leaving, of getting out there ahead of us, of leading us. Easter is never over at sundown. Jesus was revealed then, Jesus was recognized in these four ways. Stranger in their midst, the scriptures, breaking of bread, and vanishing. The disciples could say to themselves, that's real. I want to close, therefore, with sharing with you some ways in which I have experienced some real experiences during Holy Week, and I hope that you will be able to add your own to the list. Our ecumenical Good Friday service was from 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock. It was based upon the seven last words of Jesus from the cross. We had a wide variety of pastors and musicians representing the different denominations of our community. For example, we started, our first musical group was the Sisters in Christ from Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. They got us moving and started in a very good way. And I was deeply moved by that service. Because although we have so many differences in our denominations and we get so hung up on all those things that divide us, for at least 3 hours on Good Friday afternoon, we were united under the cross of Christ. That's real. Good Friday evening, we had our Tenebrae service. Our Passion History was read from the Gospel of John in drama form. The service ended in darkness and silence. The only light was a Christ candle that Pastor Bell carried from the altar in the front of the church to the narthex in the back of the church. You could have heard a pin drop. That's real. Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, after our sunrise service, the choir and brass band were practicing for the first service at 8 o'clock. And I noticed a gal, I'm going to say in her late 20s, I don't know her, I didn't want to embarrass her by looking at her, maybe it had been one of you, was standing there in the doorway with her back up against the doorway, listening to that music, and the tears were just streaming down her face. I don't know if they were tears of joy, tears of sorrow. I didn't want to embarrass her. Whatever it was, for her, that was real. And last night, I heard for the first time Pastor Harold Skillrood preach, at the Saturday evening service. That's very real for those who have been members of our congregation for some time, those who were members here when he was a pastor of this congregation. I really appreciated it. It helped me to get to understand the history of our congregation. May your post-resurrection experiences be real. That happens when we're open to that possibility in a variety of ways. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand.